Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Kusha Navidar in for Allison Stewart. We continue with producer picks, where All of It producers come on the show to present some of their favorite segments. And today, they're focusing on interviews that help honor Women's History Month. Unfortunately, a significant part of women's history has involved fighting and organizing against sexual violence. So, listeners, I just want to let you know that this conversation is going to discuss sexual assault. If at any time you feel you need support, please call the National Sexual Assault Hotline. The number is 1-800-656-4673. They're open 24 hours a day. Documentarian Nisha Pahuja received an Oscar nomination for her film To Kill a Tiger, which focuses on one family's fight for justice in rural India after their young daughter was gang-raped by some men in the community. The young woman's father wants to see these men punished for what they did, but unfortunately, his conviction makes him a social pariah in the family's small village. Here's producer Jordan Loff to tell us more.
One of the segments I produced that really left a large impression on me is a conversation with the filmmaker behind the documentary To Catch a Tiger. In this heartbreaking film, documentarian Nisha Pahuja follows one family's fight for justice after their daughter is gang raped. And in their rural Indian village, that isn't seen as such a huge deal. It's even suggested by some of the villagers that the daughter just marry one of the men who assaulted her. One of the things that was most interesting about the conversation is Nisha's recounting of how dangerous things got for her, her film crew, and the family in the village. At one point during filming, she's confronted by a large group of villagers who are demanding that she leave, and the family lived under that constant threat of retaliatory violence throughout the duration of the documentary. Yet, like so many women have had to throughout the centuries, this young woman and her family persisted in fighting for justice. To Kill a Tiger was nominated for Best Documentary Feature Film at the Oscars this year, and you can stream it now on Netflix. Here's Allison's conversation with documentarian Nisha Pahuja.
You wrote on Instagram that this film was originally intended to be an exploration of Indian masculinity. What was that initial vision of the film?
After the Delhi gang rape of 2012, I started to think that, you know, in order to really understand the headlines that were coming out of India, that what was really important was to look at masculinity, you know, and how men are created and shaped in that culture. And so I started exploring the idea of making a film on Indian masculinity. And I found an organization called the Center for Health and Social Justice. And they're sort of pioneers in the space of working with men and boys in order to create a new idea of masculinity for Indian men. So I began filming their work, and they were starting a program in Jharkhand, the state where I made this film, and working in around 30 villages with men and boys, and over the course of filming their work with these men and boys, I came across the story of Ranjit, who was enrolled in one of their programs, and this tragedy that had befallen his daughter and his family. And I began to film their story as part of the spine of this piece that I was going to make on masculinity.
I think you still very much did make a film about India, about masculinity and how it can be perverted and morph and change into something really dangerous and toxic. How long did it take you to make this film?
Yeah.
Just so we give people a sense of how invested
yes.
you got
the journey.
Yeah.
Well, it was actually 8 years. It took 8 years to make the film. Yeah.
How did you first approach Ranjit and his family about telling their story?
I mean, you know, literally, the very first interview, the very first scene in the film, which is, you know, Amit, the young man from the Srijan Foundation, an activist who goes to see the family. Literally, I mean, that was just days after Kiran had been sexually assaulted. So I wasn't sure what kind of access I was going to get. I wasn't sure how much of the story I was going to be able to follow. It really was just kind of, you know, sort of follow the puck and see what we got. But the family was really open and very amenable, you know, from the beginning.
What kind of questions did they ask you before they said yes?
They didn't ask.
They just said yes.
You know, and I'll tell you why they said yes. Yeah, and I'll tell you why they said yes. They said yes because Ranjith is an incredibly intelligent human being. Mm-hmm. And he understood very early on that the only way someone like him who comes from, they're Adivasi, so they're tribal caste, they're lower caste, they're impoverished. The only way that they were going to be taken seriously by the court system was if there was media following the story. He was very smart. So they were they were always open because they understood, you know, what we could mean for them and giving them a certain kind of legitimacy.
Often with documentaries, you just film and film and film. You do the fly on the wall thing. Did you have to alter this approach at all, considering the subject matter and the age of the girl who was raped?
No, we essentially just kind of followed the story. The decision to actually show the survivor in the end was something that took years to realize. You know, it wasn't the initial. It certainly wasn't the initial intention. The initial intent was to not show her. But when we were, you know, when we were filming, I didn't want to film her, you know, sort of using kind of traditional ways of hiding identity, right? Because I didn't want her to feel that she had to be hidden because she should be ashamed of herself or, you know, I didn't want to perpetuate the kinds of prejudices that she was already facing. So our decision was, you know, once we get into post, we'll figure something out. She wasn't going to have as key a role as she does in the current iteration of the film. So, and then once we were in post, and it, you know, it took so long to make the film and we kind of realized that actually, you know, as you said, right, we were making a film on masculinity, even if we just focused on this one story. And at that moment, you know, by then she was an adult. So we asked if we could show her. And after watching the film, her and her family, you know, agreed. So
she is so quietly fierce in this film.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole family seems extremely strong. I mean, there are times of weakness. There are times when her father just seems a bit beaten down. He admits he starts to drink a little bit too much. He goes a little absent from the process, the judicial process. From spending that much time with this family, what was the source of their strength?
Oh, each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say it was each other, and I would say it was her. I think, you know, I mean, that's for me what is so powerful about her and the film and the reason we wanted to not hide her, because in so many ways she's the moral center of the film. You know, she's the one that is sort of steadfastly demanding justice, right? And that's really powerful coming from, you know, at the time she was 13, right? Coming from a 13-year-old child, just knowing that she had the right, to seek justice.
We're discussing the film To Kill a Tiger. My guess is its director, Nisha Pahuja. Nisha, just so people can get a sense of where we're talking about, where is the village located? What is daily life like in this village?
So the village is located in Jharkhand, a state in India, in a region called Bero. And what is daily life like? A lot of people are farmers, so there's a lot of, you know, they're farmers, and a lot of them are also daily wage laborers, which means, you know, they fix roads, they build buildings. They're poor. Most of them are quite poor. And that poverty creates a sense of community. And what it does is it creates an ecosystem whereby everyone's survival depends on everyone else, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, you know, when Ranjit, if it was a bad crop for him, if he needed money, then people from the community would gather and they would ensure that the family didn't survive, you know, didn't starve, right? Mm-hmm. And that was part of that was part of why it was so difficult for them to take this step, because their very survival depended on that kind of social cohesion.
It was interesting that you explained how everyone is interconnected, because one of the big issues in the film is that the family starts to be shunned. And then Ranjit actually sort of faces a bit of scorn for what happened to his daughter. You know, he even seems to be holding some guilt about allowing her to stay at this wedding, which seemed safe to him and to her. Why do people hold him responsible in some ways for what happened to his daughter?
Because India is a hugely patriarchal culture, and the body of women, the body of girls, it's a contested space. It's an owned space. And you know, he was supposed to guard her virginity, because that's where her purity lies, right? That's where her value lies. And because he didn't do that, he brought shame not only onto his family, but also onto the village itself. And that is his role as a man. He is the guardian of his daughter's honor. Right?
And even though I described her as being very strong, which she is, she clearly has suffered a trauma. I don't want to downplay that at all. She's been clearly affected. She's very quiet at certain parts of the film. She looks very lonely in certain parts of the film. What did you observe about her, and what did her parents tell you about the changes in their daughter after she'd been attacked?
It was obviously extremely traumatic experience for her, deeply traumatic. She just stopped. I think, obviously what happened to her body and her soul was traumatizing. I think what made it worse was the fact that she was shunned, was the fact that people started to blame her, was the fact that all of her friends left her side, you know, that she had no one except for her family. So I think what happened, I mean, I can speak in terms of what's happened to her now, you know, like where she's at now. She is now almost 20 years old, but I think it is very difficult for her to trust. You know, she obviously it's very difficult for her to trust people and to confide in people. So it's definitely impacted her in that way. But that said, the reason she agreed to come forward is because she wanted to celebrate her strength, and she wanted people to see her. She wanted people to know what she had done, and she wanted other survivors to know that they could, you know, that if she could do it, they could also do it, right? That was really, really important. You know, it's really important for her. And for me, I would say that's her greatest kind of, you know, that's really, I would say, is what defines her right now.
There's a sense that that the family could be in danger, that there could be violence put upon this family. And it actually starts to happen to the film crew as well, to you. You all obviously you've been there over a long period of time. You keep coming back, and there's this sort of gathering storm against you, and that you're part of this, and maybe you are putting these ideas in this family's mind. When did you first get a sense that this sort of animosity was starting to build?
Really early on.
Yeah.
I mean, very, very, very early on. And, you know, we tried to nip that in the bud really early on in the process of filming, and many, many times, actually, right? Like, and of course, as it became clearer to the villagers that the family was not going to drop the charges, the violence and that tension just started to escalate. And, you know, I still actually have a really great relationship with the ward member. Mm-hmm. And
he's sort of like the mayor, kind of.
Exactly. Yeah. So he was helping, you know, he was kind of trying to ensure that it didn't kind of go off the rails. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, the day that it did, he wasn't in the village. If he'd been in the village, I think we wouldn't have experienced, you know, he wouldn't have experienced that. But it was building, and it had been brewing for quite some time. So it wasn't, the fact that it happened wasn't a surprise. The response to it happening was, you know, it, it was a surprise when it actually happened. You know what I mean? Like we were kind of expecting it. We were anticipating it. But when it actually happened, it was shocking. You know, it was kind of stunning. And wow, what do we do here? You know,
were you frightened?
Yes.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Yeah. I was frightened. Yes.
You kept cameras rolling, though.
You know, we didn't. Like, we did.
And then you stopped?
And then we stopped. And interestingly, you know, we actually, when we had sort of talked about the fact that this could happen, you know, as a crew, we'd had these conversations for months. Okay, well, if this happens, what do we do, you know? And our plan was we stopped the camera, but we continue to roll sound. And when it actually happened, I have to say, Allison, I felt so guilty and so full of shame and so like a bull in a china shop. And even though, like, I really had done my due diligence and I tried very hard to get the villagers to open up to me and to sort of, you know, get them to feel that I wasn't taking sides, the fact that it did happen, I felt really awful about it, actually. So at that moment, I just said, okay, we're just turning off everything. We're just turning off everything, and we're going to go and have a conversation with the people outside. So, yeah.
How much longer were you in contact with the village after that?
That was it.
That was it.
That was it. Yeah, that was it. And it was, you know, we went outside, we managed to calm people down, and then more and more men started to gather, and then it started to become very potentially aggressive. And the women actually, the women in the village essentially kind of walked us to our car, making sure that, you know, that we weren't, that
you got out safely.
Happened. Yep, that we got out safely.
That was Allison Stewart's conversation with Nisha Pahuja about her Oscar-nominated documentary, To Kill a Tiger. You can stream the film now on Netflix. Up next, biographer Jeanette Conant about the life of trailblazing war reporter Maggie Higgins, who became the first woman to win a Pulitzer Prize for foreign correspondence. Stay with us.